When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
August is almost over, and that means the Kinda Funny Patreon pledge drive is about to wrap up. If you love what we do, please know we couldn't do it without your support on patreon.com/kindafunny, and it would mean the world to us if you tossed us a sub, even if it was just for a month.
Welcome to Kinda Funny Saw in Review. Of course, it is a new franchise we're starting, which means we get a new intro with music from Carter Harrell and a video by Cameron Kennedy. And like always, I just love getting that email from Cam saying, it's ready. Check it out. And my favorite thing is, without fail, I'll be like, Nick, I got a new intro. And he'll look at me and he goes, what's that fucker have me doing this one? And I hit play, and it was that. How's that make you feel, producer slash seducer Nick Scarpino?
I hate him. I hate it. I hate him.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah, what do you think, Andy Cortez?
I need audio listeners to just go check that out, because I'm afraid I'm just going to be seeing that all for the rest of the day. I'm just going to hear a little tricycle going... I want to see that pop out of the space. Corner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got 10 weeks of this. A lot of Saw movies that we're going to be getting through here.
A lot of Saws.
And I have seen all of them before. But Joey, have you seen Saw before?
I've seen one as of this week. I've seen one.
starting her Saw journey. It is Christmas in August, Joey Noel.
I'm very excited for it. The chat didn't get to see the intro.
Can you replay it at all, Kevin?
Yeah, let's run it from the top.
It's super short. Why not?
Just that intro.
You don't need to. It's fine. It's fine.
We'll make Nick sit through for a fifth time.
Sorry, that's really odd that they weren't able to see it. But
there was a YouTube
there was
ad,
an ad
apparently.
Playing when it happened.
Oh, I didn't know we played ads.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. I don't.
YouTube has a mind of its own.
That seems like a mistake. I'll do it again. I'm going to go into. It's going to take a second. So just that's everyone, stay chill.
Oh my god,
unnecessary.
You look like Caster Troy.
I do look a little like Caster Troy from Con Air.
From Con Air. with the hair mullet. Nick Cage with the hair mullet.
I've never seen Con Air.
Wait, Caster Troy was Face Off. You're thinking of, what was his name in Con Air? Damn it, I want to look it up.
While he does that, let me introduce the final person that is going to be joining us for this Saw in Review series. One of my best friends of all time, Alfredo Diaz.
Hey, Fredo.
Hello. I'm very excited to be here with you guys today.
I want to play a game.
Do you want to play a game?
Would you like to play a game?
Hey, oh, this is so much Batman better than yours.
No, everyone shut up. Listen to mine.
I feel like it's going to be a lot of impressions over the next couple of weeks doing this. I love it. The reason I asked Alfredo to be part of this series is me and Alfredo used to watch these Saw movies every year as they came out on Halloween. We cared way too deeply about this franchise, the twists and the turns, theorizing what characters might return, what's going on, and I'm excited to do that again with him and with all of you. But real quick, of course, let me tell you that this is Kinda Funny's In Review. Each and every week, we get together to rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. If there is a film franchise that you love or hate, chances are we have already covered it, so you can check it out on youtube.com/kindafunny or roosterteeth.com as a video. If you want a podcast version, though, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny In Review, and we'll be right there for you. But if you wanted to go above and beyond, patreon.com/kindafunny is where you want to go. Just like our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Logan Delaney, Nathan Lamoth, and Patrick Delgado. Because of their support, they won't have to hear the ads for BetterHelp that everyone else will have to listen to later. And they get to watch live in the chat, just like the Portland Kevin and Madeline Stanley are doing right now. It's great. Everybody benefits, especially us. So thank you. Thank you very much. Today we're talking about... Nick Scarpino has a question.
Because I know everyone's freaking out in the YouTube chat right now.
Everybody is,
Cameron Poe.
Cameron Poe.
His name in Con Air. But guess who his wife was in Con Air, Andy?
Cyrus the Virus?
I mean, that was another character in this, not married to
his
Nick
name
Cage
was Cyrus the Virus.
Have you never seen Con Air?
Yeah,
man, we do Bruckheimer in review. You're gonna have a real good time.
Oh.
His wife in Con Air, Monica Potter.
Oh,
Monica Potter in Saw.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Andy, are you clairvoyant?
Connecting all the dots, dude. Hold on. Everybody, we're connecting so many dots right here.
Yeah.
Big reveal, dude. Big reveal, bro.
So here's the thing, everybody. Today we are talking about Saw, the original, with a runtime of 1 hour and 43 minutes. It was released on October 29th, 2004, which makes me feel very, very old. We're coming up on the 20-year anniversary of Saw. Directed by James Wan, an Australian filmmaker who's primarily worked in the horror genre as the co-creator of Saw and Insidious and the creator of the Conjuring universe. Cuckoo, baby.
Cuckoo in review,
which
baby.
We will be returning to and in review in a couple weeks with The Nun 2. All right? We'll be taking a little slight detour.
Can't wait
Saw
to be there.
To get to that. Real quick, people have been asking what the plan is for in review. Saw 10 got pushed up. It was supposed to be coming out around Halloween. It's now coming out in September. We're going to pretend like that's not happening. We're going to do these movies in order as they're coming out, and we'll just review Saw 10 a couple weeks later. So prepare for that. But anyway, sorry, Nick.
Andy, I bet you're none too excited that we're going back to the Conjuring universe.
Shut up. I got to get this impression down for later. I'll get it for later, though.
Oh,
yeah, you're
not going to
wait for
it. Oh, cool. Okay.
Way later, yeah. Way later.
I didn't need to shut up.
It's a little tease for later,
didn't
everybody.
Mean to shut up.
Anyway, the Conjuring universe, the Lattermost, is the highest grossing horror franchise at over $2 billion. Outside of horror, Wan directed Furious 7, the seventh installment in Fast and Furious, and the DCEU superhero films Aquaman and the upcoming Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Both those have grossed over $1 billion, making Wan one of the highest grossing directors of all time.
Badass.
This movie was written by Leigh Whannell, an Australian screenwriter, actor, film producer, and film director. Best known for writing films directed by his friend James Wan, including Saw, Dead Silence, Insidious, and Insidious Chapter 2. He made his directorial debut with Insidious Chapter 3, and since then has directed Upgrade and The Invisible Man in 2020. Which was
everybody liked
Invisible
Upgrade.
Man was really good.
That's honestly great. Upgrade, too. Upgrade was great.
Yeah, so he's on some shit. You know what else he's on?
Drugs.
Acting. This movie?
Oh.
Did you know this?
I did after I looked it up on IMDb.
Really?
He is Adam. He is the character in the bathroom.
Oh.
Yes, that's right.
That is not Carrie Hughes.
Wait, who is?
Carrie Elwes.
Lee Whannell.
Oh.
The writer.
Isn't that wild?
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
He's something.
Can I just tell you guys? Googled James Wan,
I was
and
like,
I can
James
see
Wan's
the thing
an
being
actor?
Like, he's not in the bathroom.
Bro, I was about to be like, I'm about to torch him right now. That fucking idiot. That's not Wan.
Nah, the writer. But what's interesting about this movie is that James Wan and the writer who plays Adam here, Lee, wrote it together. They came up with the story together, and they were trying to pitch it, and people were just not buying the project. They're like, this doesn't sound like it's going to work. I don't think it's what people want. So they made a low-budget short film, like an 11-minute short film that is essentially this entire movie, like, condensed. You could watch it on YouTube. I watched it about an hour ago just to see what was up, and it's essentially the reverse Bear Trap segment, but with characters in kind of different situations. So, like, the Adam character is in the bear trap, and the framing is him trying to explain to a police officer, like, yo, I killed this guy to get the key, but, like, I had to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
the interrogation.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty cool. And then they shopped that around, and they came from Australia to L.A., showed people that, and they were like, oh, my God, yes, we need to turn this into a project.
Joey, you're a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
If I had to kill someone to get...
Can call me Joey Esquire from now on?
Joey Noel Esquire.
Thank you.
Knight of the Old Republic. You're a lawyer, correct? If I had to kill someone to save my own life, that's cool, right?
Yeah, that...
Will you allow
in
that,
In theory,
Your
that
Honor?
Would be like self-defense, I guess?
But he wasn't attacking me. He just was on the ground when doing a heroin overdose thing, and I just... instead of just doing a little cut, I fucking stabbed him 900 times.
I still think that would be like murder, homicide.
Okay, but I mean, like, really, like, I don't understand... You don't understand the violence with which I was stabbing this guy.
Okay,
before.
So yeah, maybe premeditated murder of, okay, like, maybe cool. You get, like, a degree. I don't know which degree is the worst one. Maybe third degree?
Fourth degree of black belt.
Oh.
Welcome to In Review, everybody. But a fun fact for me here is the film was given a very small production budget.
That was hilarious.
It was a small production budget of $1 million.
Oh wow!
It ended up getting a box office return of $104 million.
That's wild.
So kind of a hit.
Is this our lowest budget In Review movie?
You know, I said that before.
What about that Nolan one? Following,
but that didn't make any. That didn't make money though. Oh, maybe just lowest budget.
Yeah,
the small kid. Yeah,
what's the budget on that?
Following
$20 in a like a bag of
flannel. $20 in a dream.
I mean, they couldn't even afford color. It was all black and white.
That's true.
Exactly.
Extra.
Is that how
that budget was $6,000. So yeah,
$6,000, brother.
You're like beating that.
Well, I was gonna say we did. Clerks might have been. That's an interesting question. Which one had the biggest return on the?
Yeah.
Clerks was $22.
But Clerks didn't make $100 million.
No. Let me look up Clerks.
Like this movie was huge back in the day.
Oh yeah.
Big. Maybe Paranormal Activity was bigger because Paranormal Activity is like, or Blair Witch Project might have been bigger.
Okay, let's put this in context just for this conversation real quick.
Give it to me.
Clerks, a budget of $230,000. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Debatably, you could say $28,000.
Yeah, it's $28,000, but they marketed
it. Let's just even go with $28,000.
Sure.
Box office of $4.4 million.
Oh wow.
All right. Yeah. Saw. Budget of $1 million, return of $104 million.
Okay.
That's a lot of money. All right. Yeah.
Big
especially for a movie that was shot in 18 days. 18 days.
Yeah.
This whole movie. Makes sense. But 18.
I mean, yeah, they didn't spend too much time worrying about Cary Elwes' makeup in this. So for the most part, he looks kind of like a clown halfway through this, but it's still a good movie.
He looks so pale.
They make him look pale, but then he has like scratches on both sides of his face, but it looks like they just put like makeup, like looks like blush. It's very weird.
Yeah, the purple circles get deeper and deeper.
They get deeper. He looks like
music
Dracula.
Was done by Charlie Closer, an American keyboardist, composer, record producer, and remixer. He worked with Trent Reznor for Nine Inch Nails from 1994 to 2000.
I thought you meant on this movie. Yeah. No, wow.
And heavily worked with Marilyn
Manson.
Manson.
Oh,
Monroe.
Ray Wyatt just died. Dang.
What?
That sucks.
Oh, my gosh.
Who just died?
Bray Wyatt, a wrestler.
What the hell? That's crazy.
Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie. He was a heavy collaborator with them as well. So a lot of that makes sense. And is known for the Saw franchise. He was nominated for 2 Grammy Awards for Best Metal Performance in 1997. And so even though Juan and Wanel were receiving better offers from studios like DreamWorks and Gold Circle Films for this, they didn't want to take the project and have them attached.
DreamWorks now. Yeah.
Well, but DreamWorks, like the live big, action.
No, not, yeah. But it's just funny to hear it attached.
Also, every time you say Juan, I'm thinking J-U-A-N, like a Mexican dude.
Yeah, I know. W-A-N.
W-A-N. So Juanito.
But essentially, they were offered a higher budget to make the movie if James Wan wasn't directing and Adam wasn't acting, or not Adam, Lee wasn't acting in the movie, but they're like, no, fuck that. So then they got the smaller budget of just $1 million for this, which caused the people that did finance the film to have to put up a second mortgage on their headquarters.
Oh, wow.
Worked out for them. So a very Kevin Smith-like story here.
Very cool.
With a different result. So anyway, those are the facts for everybody. Joey, I want to start with you. Hold on. Actually, real quick. Andy, how many Saw movies have you seen?
I don't know. There's a lot of people in the comments that, even the couple people in our chat that I saw, like, man, are you kidding? Andy's going to watch this franchise. This is awesome. Because I normally don't do the scary stuff, except for all the Nun and all the Conjuring. I was definitely there. I just wasn't able to make those podcasts, but I watched all of them. Great films.
It's crazy.
Great biopic, honestly.
It's crazy how every single time you were supposed to make it to that, something happened.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wow. Anyway, the Saw movies, very similar thing with you and Fredo. Me and my friends would go every Halloween to go watch them. And I think I want to say I watched up to 4 or 5.
Okay.
Now, I've seen 1 multiple times. I've seen 2 multiple times. 3, probably far less than multiple. And then like 4 and 5, I've maybe only seen once.
Okay.
But by 4 and 5, totally interchangeable for me. I don't really remember what the twists were and all that stuff.
And then Nick. What about you?
This is my first time watching this movie.
Okay, cool. Whoa. That's exciting. And then so Joey's first time too. And then Fredo, have you seen all of them?
I've seen all of them. I've seen all of them multiple times.
Including the two most recent ones. Jigsaw and Spiral.
You're talking Spiral? Spiral? Hello, detective.
Hello. Oh, whoa, 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 Wait. Sorry.
Future spoilers.
I love that you jumped in that. Alfredo, I forgot to tell you. No future spoilers on this show. So we need to, we only talk about the movies that we've seen thus far.
I don't know what the hell any of that means.
I don't want to spoil anything for Nick there, but that was great.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I watched this. This is my first time I actually watched the movie all the way through, but unfortunately, since it was made in 2004, the reveal, the big twist at the end was spoiled for me.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see how they got there, and this movie is exactly what I thought it was going to be.
I want to get to that. It's like, Joey, I want to start with you. What did you think of Saw 1?
So, Saw, I had maybe watched like the first 10 minutes of this movie before.
Mm-hmm.
Went down to my good friend Matt's house. We were in high school. Was this Matt that you used to carpool with? Yeah, because he lived like two streets down from me.
Right on.
So went down.
Are you using his Prime Video account or what?
Okay. Does he have a login?
I don't know. We don't really talk anymore.
Hit him up.
So then watched like the first 10 minutes of this and I was like, absolutely not. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Then after that, I think is when I started to watch more horror movies. So now going back, I just have that same feeling of just being like, Saw was so scary. I couldn't watch it. I like walked out of the house, wasn't going to finish it. Then watched it. Pleasantly surprised at how like not scary it is compared to some of the stuff I've watched since then. But it's really good. It's funny because I thought there was going to be a lot more gore in this one than there actually is. It's like pretty minor. And it's way more leans like psychological thriller
definitely.
Than actual horror.
And you could tell that's budget. Like, because they lean into it real heavy in the future. Close. But like, you could tell a lot of it is like they didn't have the money to even show a car chase scene.
You know? But I had like a really surprisingly good time with it. It's very tense. The stakes always feel high. I think it's one of those things where it's hard to like not know the spoiler for this one, I think, just because everybody talks about it, especially with how many movies they've put out since then. It's like always the thing that they reference. But I had a great time. Honestly, kind of surprised that they get away with having the writer act in it. So I think it's kind of fun. I think he's fine. Carrie, just doing his best.
Carrie always getting paid.
Yeah, exactly.
Making, how much of the budget was $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee him and Danny Glover were at least 800,000 of that.
Yeah. Danny Glover popping up as wild. I'm like, damn, you got that kind of budget?
Man, Danny Glover is Danny Glover does my all-time favorite thing of any actor ever. He does the, I'm going to whisper a bunch of exposition for you so the audience can know where I'm at. Because we just catch up with him and he's like, I'm going to catch you right now. It's been 3 years. I'm not a cop anymore. I got discharged from the force, but they still pay my pension. It's pretty great.
I was in the second Predator movie.
Yeah. Predator 2. It's a concrete jungle. It fucking rocked. underrated.
Nick, this being your first time, what did you think of it?
This movie is exactly what I thought it was going to be. I had watched maybe like parts of it back in the day, but I was never really into what I construed as sort of like gore porn. Like that sort of like, oh, this guy's going to cut through his own leg and we're going to see all the gory parts of it, but pleasantly surprised that it was more angled towards psychological thriller. I think it's a clever movie. I think it's a fun movie. I think it is such a sign of the times for 2004 with the way it's edited, with the fast motion to slow motion, with a horrible, horrible sound mix of it, of just something screaming into your ear 1 second and then a very silent scene the next second. But like, it's just got a cast of characters that are just so early 2000s, including Shawnee Smith, the porcupine guy from the X-Men series, Danny Glover, Cary Elwes. I mean, absolutely exactly what I thought it was going to be for a low-budget horror movie, and it deserves all the acclaim that it got. Very entertaining.
Alfredo Diaz, what about you?
Honestly, I think it still holds up. I think I love how simple it is comparatively, because they really do ramp up Saw big time. It's like the Fast and Furious series where they just keep trying to outdo themselves and outpace themselves. So I do like how simple it is. Still can't watch Carrie saw his leg off. It's just, it's a lot. It's a lot to handle. But I think it's fun. I think it's definitely a sign of the times, the color palette that they chose for the entire film that holds it throughout the entire series. And then who doesn't like Danny Glover just yelling, "Hey-ho, down on the ground, hey-ho!" Just kept yelling it like 5-6 times. And I was like, I don't remember that. But here we
shoot
are.
Him.
Andy, what about you?
I would love everybody to go home and rewatch this movie tonight. Rewatch it tonight. But close your eyes for the first 15 minutes. And when you're hearing this dialogue from these actors, I need you to imagine that it is a Konami game on PS1 with a bad English dub. This game sound like anytime I watch the intro to this movie, I'm like, this just feels like Resident Evil 1 or Silent Hill 1 with like a with really bad English American actors talking over it. Cary Elwes is dreadful in this movie. The other dude, awful in this fucking movie. But like they're amazing also. Like it's just like it is just a sign of the times. It is so low budget. You could tell where all the corners were cut. But damn, they ramp up the tension really well, and you feel like the dread in these dudes' minds. And yeah, and I it's been a while since I watched this movie, and I just kind of had forgotten a lot of the exposition and all the connecting of the dots in the middle of the movie. And then once that grand reveal happens, like, of course, I obviously remember the guy who looks like Greg Popovich, coach of the Spurs, is Jigsaw, and he's on the ground. But, like, I kind of forgot the whole, the doctor was doing the test. Like, this movie rules, dude. Like, it is such a sign of the times. And then I think that these movies kind of get better and they get worse and worse and worse. But, yeah, I had a freaking blast with this movie. Like, I was wondering, am I going to look forward to this, like, franchise? Because, you know, Tim was like, this is a pretty big undertaking. It's for a while. And when the credits hit, I'm like, this movie fucking kicks ass, dude. Tim, what do you think?
I mean, I'm right there with you. I love Saw so much, and Saw 1 in particular. Like, it's the one that started it all, right? And, like, it began the whole, if it's Halloween, it must be Saw. The worst tagline ever, right? Yeah. And then Saw 2's tagline was, oh, yes, there will be blood. Like, okay, well, congratulations.
I would like to put Watch Paris Die as a secondary one for that stupid House of Wax movie.
Yeah, exactly. Saw 1 was the only one of the Saw movies I didn't see day one in theaters. But I remember renting it, and me and some of my friends watched it at my house. It was, you know, late night sleepover for the weekend, and just being so blown away as a 13 year old kid. I don't even know how old I was, but it was around that age. And the moral conundrums were like, it was the deepest movie.
Oh my God. Oh my God. 1000%.
He's not murdering them though, guys. He's putting them in situations, which like that whole premise falls apart. Like being old and looking back at it, it's just like, no. But like when you're young, that felt so special and so creative and so clever. And I feel like while now being able to look at this movie through a very different lens, I wish it was a lot more clever. Like I wish that, I know without future spoilers here, I expected the traps in this to hold up in a way of like, oh, there's actually a logical game going on here with rules of why the people are in it and they can get out of it and all that. And I feel like they already gave up on that. Like there's a couple situations here, like, one of the traps is just a dude getting shotgunned because he walked through an alley. Right. It's like, there's no like mental game going on here.
But even the trap of him like waking up and like not knowing the keys in the bathtub with him, stuff like that.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Some of it just kind of felt like just like random, like to have an exposition as opposed to like being actually clever. But besides that, I feel like what everyone said, and to some extent, like the acting in this movie, it's just absolutely atrocious from the main two that we have in the bathroom. But, like, it's endearing as all shit. I love the way this movie is presented where it's in real time for the first, like, 20 minutes of just these two dudes waking up in this shitty bathroom. And you're just kind of sitting with them with – it's cutting back and forth, but in real time with the conversation they're having. It almost feels like a podcast, but it's revealing where they're at. Do they know each other? What's going on? And then as you go throughout the movie – I always remember the reveal at the end, but I did not remember. There's reveals every 20 minutes in this movie that add up to like make it even bigger of a reveal at the end when it feels like there's twist on twist on twist. The moment where it's like, oh shit, it seems like Danny Glover is the one behind this. I was like, yo, y'all earned that. The moment where we see Adam developing the pictures and it's like clear that he knew the doctor. It's like, dude, this is really freaking cool. And in terms of it, this being a horror movie, like I know it might be less scary than some other things. I actually think that this movie's scarier than most Conjuring movies because the scenes of tension of the little girl in her room, like thinking someone's in the room and him not being there in the beginning, but then later he is. Like the way they did that, I thought was great. And Adam walking around with the camera and the flash, like the sound of it and like the brief lights and the strobing effect it had. It's like such great tension. Yeah. Like, that's legitimately scary. But yeah, I feel like the most important thing about this movie is how iconic and unique so many elements are, where it's like, it's the music, it's the colors, it's the traps, it's the twists, it's the, like, there's just so much stuff. The jigsaw little, the puppet, right? The,
oh my gosh,
the pig mask, the, like, yeah, so many things about this. The shitty ass editing of, like, the rapid, like, I don't know, like, jerky ass shit going on, the fucking music and the everything. It's so early 2000s, but really, it's so Saw. Like, it is Saw. Saw did that shit. Like, James Wan and the team, like, created that aesthetic for better or worse. But I was into it.
I mean, yeah, Nick earlier mentioning the torture porn, like, this was the revolutionary one. This started, in my opinion, all that
entire genre.
That kind of, like, it spurned all those offshoots from all these other companies.
Because when was Hostel?
Hostel's after this.
Hostel was after this. Okay. Yeah. And
yeah, this one walks so that Hostel could, I guess, hobble someone.
Yeah, this kind of, like, started off that whole, like, fascination of movie studios being like, oh, we can make money off of this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it was, like, insanely groundbreaking at the time. And I'll say that even after all this time, I was still really impressed by the cleverness of it, because I was expecting, we've seen a lot of, you know, really impressive movies since then. And writing has definitely evolved a lot, and writers have gotten smarter. And I was still really impressed by kind of the beats that this movie takes, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I think, like,
go for it.
Watching back on this, I definitely felt like I wish they held back on some of the reveals. I feel like some of the, like looking back, I'm like, oh, how can I have missed that? It's because we were young when we watched it. But I was just like, there's a lot of things I'm like, oh, you kind of just, like, showed that, which by process of elimination kind of feels like it's not what it appears to be. And so, like, I feel like they could have cleaned that up a little bit in terms of, like, how much they show of, like, specific character and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're throwing us off here a little too hard.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting too, because I feel like, oh, sorry, Alfredo, did you have more?
No, that was it.
Oh, one of the things I realized, like, halfway through, was I was like, you know, it's interesting that they have a lot of these reveals, and you can understand why they had them in there, because if you didn't have all that backstory, it would be really, really tough to just have the story, like, kind of rooted in the room. Having said that, though, the room is the most interesting thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's the coolest part of the movie. And every time we go outside of it, I'm like, I don't really need any of this. Also, every time we go outside of it, you realize they're only using, like, one warehouse space for the entire other set. Like, the house, the carport, all that stuff is probably the exact same little building they use for all this shit, everything, you know?
Again, the car chase between Danny Glover and the dude.
It's like the Simpsons intro.
It's just camera movement on their faces, and everything else is black around them. There's no, like, indication that they're actually driving on a road. It's just
so fun.
Here's let's fog. Just shoot this and move it. Yeah.
which, by the way, we didn't need them to hop in car. We didn't even see them get in the car.
Yeah, we didn't see them get out either. Like,
it could have just been a street chase because the guy runs into a sewer. You're like, what is he doing? But they wanted,
I picture
that
them,
sense
like,
of
parking and, like, sick. They want, am I good, man? Do I got, like, a foot behind me? Okay, let me park real quick.
But I mean, shout out to Monica Potter, who's just in these scenes doing the best she possibly can with, you know, the kid who's a decent actor, but, like, so they're like, hi, Monica, you need to look really, really scared for, like, hour 8. You've been scared for 8 hours. She's like, got it, no problem, not a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we're about to get into the plot of Saw 1, but before we do that, here's a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all know life can be hard. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know from experience how often it just seems easier to care about others and keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. For more balance with BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/kindoffunny. betterhelp.com/kindoffunny. Andy, hit the theme.
Fuck.
It's a remix.
Do you want to hear a plot?
That was really good. For a second, I thought you were going to ba da ba da da ba da ba da da ba da ba ba.
Now, honestly, when we got here, and I was like, I don't even have a plot song. So I just played the one thing that I know, and that'll come back around. When it comes back around, don't be too surprised. Oh. Right?
Mm-hmm. Spoilers, future spoilers.
Uh-huh.
Andy,
you want to play a game? You want to play a game with me, Andy?
He just sounds like a drunk uncle.
Andy, let's play that game like that Fortnite game.
Mijo, come with me, mijo.
We start with a dude waking up at a bathtub, and he's got a glowing key on his mouth that goes down the drain, foreshadowing. I think so. Carrie Elwes is there, too, and he plays Lawrence Gordon, or Lars. I will refer to him for the rest of the time.
Why?
Because they call him Larry. I don't know. I'll call him Larry. How about that?
Okay, thank you, Nick. Thanks for meeting us in the middle.
Carrie Elwes, of course, you guys know from
Jonah.
From his
Robin Hood Men in Tights.
From his turn on Psych.
Suits? Oh.
For a very, very long time. He played a master thief on Psych. And you never knew if you could trust him or not, but he was just a good guy. Just a fun, good guy. Or was he?
I haven't gotten around to that one yet.
Well, I mean, mark my words. When it comes to Netflix... You think Suits? If Suits was a hurricane, God. This is a goddamn world-ending earthquake when Psych comes to Netflix.
I heard about this man in Suits during lunch.
Oh my God!
Yep. Who told you?
Huh?
Who told what? What? Who's talking to you at lunch?
I saw the clip.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I thought that it had made it to Rooster Teeth about Nick and Suits. I'm like, this needs to be stopped.
Suits is everything, man. Okay, so Lawrence is a doctor. He and Adam are very confused. Lawrence notices there's a clock on the wall. He's like, it's brand new, so time is probably pretty important here. Somebody wants us to know what time it is. Adam finds a little note in his back pocket with one of those tiny little mini tapes. This is your first clue. This movie was made 70 years ago. We haven't used tape stock like that in a very, very long
time. Dude, I had one when I was a kid. I felt so cool. I would record music off the radio with it.
That's what I did.
Terrible, Fredo. And I would listen to it with my headphones.
Like,
I'm like,
the song.
Yeah, I think this is Godsmack. I don't know.
Would every single one of your songs end with a promo? Like, hey, everyone, this is KCRW.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Lawrence finds one in his back pocket, too. Only his comes with a small key and a bullet. Adam fashions a little lasso with a drain stopper and retrieves the tape recorder from the body in the middle of the room that's had its head blown off.
We're breezing through this real quick, but like, real talk, I loved this setup. Like, the little small reveals of them trying to look around the room and like how they're talking to each other sounds stupid as hell, but like, it feels very like, oh shit, what's going on? Like, the mystery is real. And the reveal of the body, the dead body on the floor is like, holy shit, man. Like, imagine putting yourselves in that situation. Mm-hmm. I feel like this movie does a great job of constantly making me think, oh fuck, what would I do? You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is
honestly,
oh, go for it.
Oh. Honestly, low-key, it's like a horror escape room.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Like, they're on the same page. Do we think that this is like the beginnings of escape rooms being a thing? Because they didn't really, I don't think they really existed before.
Probably not, right? Yeah. This makes sense.
Honestly, yeah. Like, the whole, do you like to play a game? Like, that's just such a thing of like being stuck in a room and having to figure out your way or else you die.
Yeah, speaking of escape rooms like not existing back in the day, where have all the Froyo places gone?
They died.
Where have all Froyo.
They just got like
the Froyo places turned into poke places. All okay. of them. Legitimately, every poke place in San Francisco used to be.
That's
a
travesty. We need to even the odds a little bit more.
Maybe it'll bring it. Maybe it'll come back, man. But it flew too close to the sun and melted.
We need.
There's a lot of them. Oh, God.
Yeah, Tim, I wanted to mention real quick.
Get it.
Again, a very, very cool intro. Imagine this being a PS2 Quantic Dream game.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, when I played Indigo Prophecy back in the day, this was the same kind of vibe of, like, what is this mystery? In Indigo Prophecy, you kill a dude and the game starts with you waking up and there's, like, a dead body underneath you. You're like, what the hell just happened? This is such a cool premise to start off the movie with.
So cool.
If it smells, it's because I took my shoes off.
Great.
And then I also love that that in the very beginning of the movie, you start to hear the theme song, but it's just a couple notes, and throughout the entire movie, it builds and builds until the cacophony of the reveal at the end. It's cool.
I also do really like how they sort of set up the tension here, right? These guys do not trust each other. There's moments where, you know, we've got the whole, like, get the tape recorder. Hey, he goes, throw me the recorder. He goes, no, I don't want to break it. But it's like, are you really saying that? Or do I really trust? I don't trust you at all. We saw that this guy's got a bullet. We don't know what the fuck's going on.
Then he does it later anyway, so who cares?
Would you tell the other person your real name, or would you go with a fake name?
I mean, I can't lie to people in high stress situations. So I'd probably be like, I'd probably tell this guy my whole life story.
Okay.
It's just it's just Carrie was going, here, throw that to me. And the other guy goes, okay.
Dude, hey, real talk.
Why are they all so bad at throwing
Why
shit?
Is 90% of this movie them poorly throwing something at each other? Like, it's so, like, their acting is, like, so much easier to criticize because so much of the movie is just a tight shot on them having a real-time conversation about throwing things back and forth and then just fucking, like, they look like me throwing things. Not you guys.
That's so true. Tim can't throw for shit. They play each other's tapes, and it turns out that the guy that has kidnapped them wants Larry to kill Adam. Also, the guy in the middle of the room has shot himself in the head because the poison in his blood was too much. And so we're like, oh, we're setting some stuff up there. He says, if you don't kill Adam by 6 o'clock, then your wife and child will die. Remember, X marks the spot. At this point, I'd be like this. I got to take notes on this. This is a high stress situation. Too much. And then, of course, he goes, let the games begin.
That's like Batman or something.
And then he says, and then he goes, follow your heart. And it's like, wait, what?
No, there's another hold on. Follow wait.
Which is not in the thing.
No, what was the line? What was the fucking line? Follow your heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They no, listen to heart. The tape. I was like, wait. And he perfectly rewinds it to the part about the wife and kid. And then he's like, wait, be quiet. Follow your heart. The most, like, there, that was fuck? Clearly so said, but was not in the first recording.
No, absolutely not. And that is not the first time.
Turned it off.
Of course, Lawrence notices a heart drawn in poop on the toilet. And Adam goes, I'll go ahead and dig through the toilet. So I would have been like, check the tank first.
Now, here's the thing.
Well, I wanted to hear, honestly, like, before that, follow your heart. Also, the guy on the ground, that's me. I'm alive.
What you had to do? Just keep listening to the tape and you would have been fine. I love that there are multiple times in this movie that we talk about clever a lot when it comes to Saw. And I feel like some of the writing was clever for the wrong reasons, where there's multiple things that happen that I'm watching, G's watching, we're just like, why the fuck is she looking at him that way? Like, why the fuck would he stick his hand in the toilet? And then they address it, like, either immediately or later in the movie. I'm like, oh, they played me. Like, yeah. I got played by this shit. Like, he stuck his hand in the toilet. Like, why would you not look in the back first? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
But even he, like, questions it. He's like, yeah, I probably should have done this first.
Yeah. Also, at this point, I'd be thinking, like, is the tank in this toilet our only potable water here? Because if we have to be here for a long time, do I have to scoop this into my mouth? And if so, I got the poopy on my hands.
How do I purify this?
Yeah, how do you purify it? You got to do those little tablets they do. Anyway,
I think the issue I had is that he put his hand in there, and then, like, I would have, like, concealed the poop to, like, the back of my right knee or something. He just kind of whipped it around all over the place in the shirt and the bag. And
he spit it out, Fredo. He was like, it got in his mouth. The poop got in his mouth.
Did you know that every time you take anything into the bathroom, everything is covered in poop particles?
Don't tell me.
Fact. Anyway, Adam, really.
Hold on. Let's just review that real quick. Science with Kev.
I'm Kevin.
It's true.
Okay, thank you.
There we go.
Told you. Kevin and I know poop particles. We're smarter than a fifth grader. Adam immediately, he checks the tank and finds a bag that has some stuff in it. Amongst them is two hacksaws. We don't see the other two things in the bag. He hides it real quick. Because I got a hacksaw. Throws the other guy is Carrie Elway's hacksaw.
How's he try it?
Yeah. he tries the chain, or tries to hack through this massive fucking, like, 12-gauge chain, and of course it doesn't work. It snaps the hacksaw. I probably would have spent the 4 hours we had there delicately trying to saw through the padlock. I think maybe that's something that you probably could saw through, unless the saw itself was that
flimsy.
But I'm pretty sure Kev, you think you could saw through a padlock with a hacksaw?
Like with a normal, like, good hacksaw?
Yeah. I mean,
like, this was all rusty. Yeah. Sure.
Would you try your foot first, or would you try? Anyway,
yeah.
It's not going to work. Lawrence thinks he knows. He's like, oh, no. He doesn't want us to saw through our chain. He wants us to saw through our feet.
Quite a jump. You know what I mean? This is one of those things where I'm like, I wish there was some clue or something that led to that more than just, oh, the saw's not working to cut through the chain. He must want us to cut off our foot.
Well, I mean,
like, you know what it is? He plays the tape. He's like, wait, hold on a second. He plays the tape back in. He goes, follow your heart. Saw off your foot.
Did Carrie say that he wants them to saw off their feet?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it might be because he already knew of the Jigsaw Killer and then was also being convicted of possibly being Jigsaw.
Yeah, I think he goes into that.
You're right. You're right. That is right.
But I also think they want to just play more into his kind of inquisitive problem-solving nature, because this whole thing starts off with him going, well, they would have killed us if they wanted to. What do they want from us?
Yeah.
And he's already kind of like trying to, like, you know, process of elimination sort of things going on there.
Well, it's
an escape room. You gotta have two smart people. You can't have two Nicks.
Yeah.
You can't have two Nicks. Never have two Nicks. But my thing is, Alfredo, you're right.
You content with Alfredo.
Alfredo, you put me and you in an escape room. We're getting out of there in 5 seconds.
We're screwed. We're two Nicks.
We're fine. It's gonna be hilarious.
That's two Nicks.
It's gonna be hilarious.
But my problem with it, like, you're right that, like, he knew about the Jigsaw stuff. I just wish that the, like, cutting off the foot was a little more clever to the game, or to, like, if it was something of, like, you spent your life running away. Like, well, let me take the thing.
Something you know vaguely metaphorical. Yeah.
What I wish it had been.
Or if he was like, we use the metric system here. It's like, oh, no feet.
No feet! No feet! What I wish it had been, and you know, if they had a little bit more time to develop this potentially, is they should have seeded it out a little bit, and it should have been the big reveal at the end is that, oh, shit, the hacksaw is actually for my foot. Like that, I think... He ends up doing it, and it is cool at the end, and it's like, I'm like, oh, fuck, he's actually going to do it. And the reason he has, but I wish they hadn't telegraphed it so far ahead. I wish they had built up to that point where, as a dumb audience member, I'm like, what are these fucking he's got to cut his own foot off. That's rough.
Yeah.
But anyway, they spoil it right here because this movie really is only 20 minutes long. The rest of it is filler backstory, which we're going to go out to now. He's like, I know who this guy is because I was a suspect. His name's Jigsaw. Why does he cut the pieces off people's backs? Maybe we'll know in the next 15 Saw movies. We're not quite sure.
I can't wait for you guys to see the rest of it. Like, y'all don't know what you're about to. Alfredo brought up Fast and Furious earlier. Like, yo, this one goes from Fast 1 to Fast 10, like, next week.
So. I'm so excited for it. Of course, we see a bunch of other cases that we've seen here before. A lot more of Jigsaw's victims, one of which had to crawl his way through razor wire and ended up bleeding out. We see Dr. Gordon presenting a case of a man who's got an inoperable brain tumor. Spoilers, looks a lot like the guy that's laying on the floor in front of them in the bathroom.
But if you don't know,
they don't really ever show his face until that point, right?
I was more like, holy shit, it's the guy from Lost who plays the orderly. Did you guys ever watch Lost?
Exactly. Ben Linus.
Yeah.
And the other detective guy is also from Lost,
too. He is from Lost. That's right. He's also, again, Porcupine Man from X-Men.
Rush Hour as well.
Rush Hour.
Spike.
Yeah, Spike. That guy did a lot. That guy's still doing good
work.
Was he
Ricky Tan?
He was Ricky Tan. No, he wasn't Ricky Tan.
No, he wasn't Ricky Tan.
He was Juntao, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
I forget his character's name, but he was great. He was good in that because he was blonde hair.
Yeah.
He's like really silent. And that.
Super handsome.
Anytime anyone doesn't talk on screen, it's scary.
What's up?
Anytime anyone, a villain doesn't talk on screen, it's scary.
Yeah, Rush Hour.
From here, Lawrence shoots one of his female residents a little look, and you're like, uh-oh.
Larry?
It's the biggest look I've ever seen in my life. It's like, I have never seen any woman look at anyone that way, ever. She was like, right now, like, I don't care that we're at a hospital doing our job.
Yeah.
She's watched Grey's Anatomy. She knows what goes down in those rooms.
Choose me, pick me, love me.
It was not subtle in the least. Of course, Zep is there. I'm like, hey, what's up, orderly Zep? This is like, I miss my guy Zep. I'm like, okay, he's on this. Let's see. We go over. We get introduced to all the detectives, of course. Danny Glover's there. June Tao's there. Or Porcupine guy's there, Spike. Gordon presents the case. Sorry, I lost my place. They found a pen light at the murder scene, and it's Dr. Gordon's fingerprints on it. And he's like, surely you can't be serious. I was in the Princess Bride. But I've got an alibi. And we get, oh, man. This scene lasts a long time where he's like, I don't know what to say. Then we cut over his lawyer and he's like, tell him you were fucking with someone. He's like, I can't. And then he does. And he goes, okay, cool. Your alibi checks out. You're like, these three scenes, totally useless. Completely fucking useless. But what's not useless is like, I'd like you to listen to an interrogation by one of his victims that got away. And it's Shawnee Smith, I believe is the actress's name.
And
I love her. I love this actress because she played the pregnant teen in Summer School. And you guys have never seen Summer School, but it was a movie that was on Channel 13 every fucking Sunday
You're naming a channel by number.
Listen, Andy,
That's crazy.
What if I told you there was a movie about a PE teacher who's supposed to go away for the, he doesn't have a job for the summer, right? But the principal hates him. And what, guess what he makes him do? He makes him teach summer school, not just any summer school class, all the losers in high school that are flunking out. And he turns those kids around.
1987.
Yeah. Great movie. Christy Alley in that.
Channel 13.
Really? Yeah. Channel 13 and Channel 5. This movie.
You tilted the TV a certain way. You got it.
That was the hotels in Dana Point. Oh, race, right, to go.
So this is it. This is the big moment of this Saw 1. It's not the reveal, but like it's the reverse bear trap.
Wait, is it time already?
No. Gotta save for the end. Gotta save for the end. But this is the first time we get to actually see a full trap happen, like go through the whole thing. Because we see the guy through the razor blades, but it's kind of more flashbacky and stuff. But this is straight up. We're getting the backstory. We're getting the I'd like to play a game. We're getting the whole Saw experience.
This movie, I feel like, is edited in the same way that those like PSAs of like you wouldn't steal a car, yeah. And stuff. I'm like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
They're like, is that what influenced those?
Bus driving is drunk driving. Knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, like anytime there's bad editing, super erratic editing, where you know that while the dude was editing, he felt like he was popping the fuck off.
Oh.
Right? Like this dude was like, I can't wait to drop this shit. But the problem is like, and it's something that traumatizes me because it's my favorite TV show of all time. It reminds me of
The Office.
Breaking Bad, where Walt is with Walt Jr. and they're test driving the cars and they're both revving the engines and the camera's doing weird like zoom in. It's like that's what it reminds me of. And it just like I go like, ah, the best show of all time had some terrible moments in it.
Nothing's perfect, man, but it did give us Jesse Plimpton, sure, or whatever the guy's name is. That's pretty cool.
You know, Lemons. I've never seen Breaking Bad.
Oh, Fredo, get over here right now.
Start with Better Call Saul.
No,
do we start with Saul?
Yeah. Start, okay. Yeah, Saw 2 goes into season Saul. 3. Oh, Saul.
Saul.
No, don't start with Saul.
That's like weird prequel.
Saul 3.
Love the imagery here. Love the reverse bear trap. I think that's super cool. This is where I'm like, okay, this is exactly what I expected in this movie. This predicament, horror, porn, whatever the fuck we're doing here. It's crazy. He's like, you got it. Oh, I want to play a game. You want to play a game?
Let's play a game.
There's a bear, that bear trap's going to fucking rip your head off. Check this out. And then I like that. He's like, you don't believe me? This is what it's going to look
check
like. And the camera
out.
Just sort of like, no, over there. And the camera pans over and just, bah! <It's>
like, ah! You hear it in the camera. Like, I go, oh shit.
It is funny because, like the way he explains, he's like, think of it like a reverse bear trap. In my mind, I see something getting ripped open.
Yeah.
And the thing that they show, it just looks like he exploded a cantaloupe.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Which is, you know.
Because the idea of what it would actually do to her is fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Just rip her fucking horrifying. Whole head.
I mean, you would die immediately, though. So it's like not that
bad. But it would also be like excruciating.
Yeah.
I think you'd be dead before you knew it.
But yep. Even just seeing her in the interview and like her she has like the Joker scars going on, like, oh, it's fucked up, man.
It's dope. I mean, it's crazy. Of course, it's like you gotta
Alfred,
go. You gotta.
You want to play a game, Alfred? You think, Alfred?
Of course, she has to go cut through what she thinks is a dead body, but as she's about to cut through this guy, he starts waking up. He was on heroin. He was doused with a drug. He couldn't really see or feel anything, but he was alive. And then she was like, I'm going to just give you a little incision right here. Ah! And just starts stabbing the shit out of him, gets the key, gets free. And then she's like, you know what? Kind of a positive experience, if I'm being honest. Like, thought it was bad at the time. Feeling pretty good about myself now. Andy.
Is she the young lady that plays Blood Rain?
I don't think so.
In the Uwe Boll movie, Blood Rain?
I want to go on a limb.
Vampire?
I don't think so.
Oh, there was a movie, Blood Rain.
Yeah.
I just remember the game.
It feels like she would be.
No, she was the part. It's Christiana Loken.
Okay, it's not that I've even seen the movie, Tim. I just like, she looks like
she got
played
vibes.
She looks like she could cosplay Blood Rain right now.
Christiana Loken, Terminator 3.
We're just asking Tim to go on a Wikipedia adventure right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, she is Terminator 3.
Andy, do you remember in Rush Hour where he goes, he throws him the handkerchief and he goes, wipe yourself off, you're bleeding. And then at the end,
wipe yourself off, goes, you're dead.
You're dead.
Yeah, that's cool.
Fucking sick. Rush Hour in review. Let's go. Did we do it already?
I don't know. Shanghai Nights and Shanghai Noon, throw that in there too.
Both are great.
Yeah.
Both are great. Actually, you know what we should throw into the Saw series? We should throw 7 in there, just because.
Just because.
Why would, why would I ever so want to sleep
seven
again?
So
let me
good.
Tell you, Fredo, let me tell you that when we did Mortal Kombat in review, we ended up having an extra week open because they released Mortal Kombat early, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We had like an extra week of like, what are we going to put here? And Nick proposed, and we did it. We put in Balls of Fury.
Yep.
Because the guy who plays Shang Tsung is in Balls of Fury. Mm-hmm. So clearly that ties together.
And Alfredo, what if I told you that the Balls of Fury episode performed better than the majority of the Mortal Kombat episode?
No!
That makes sense. Oh, so yeah. I remember watching you guys did a trade over react for the last Mortal Kombat movie.
Yep.
And I remember Andy just going, oh, we got to get a good video game movie? And I went, ooh, Andy.
It was okay.
It wasn't terrible.
Here we get, of course, the theme of the movie is most people are so ungrateful to be alive, but not you, not anymore. And she's like, man, I used to love the smack, and now I don't do drugs anymore because Jigsaw showed me the way.
You sound like you're in a You Wouldn't Download a Car commercial.
You wouldn't download a car, man.
Let's see. Jigsaw, Adam realizes the mirror he broke earlier is a two-way mirror. They break it again, and they realize there's a camera in there. Jigsaw likes to have a little peephole into the world. Gordon tells him that they need to look for the ex, and then he talks about his daughter. He's like, the last interaction I had with her didn't go so well. He tucked her in, and she swore she saw a creepy man in her bedroom, but his pager went off and interrupted him because he's a doctor.
Alfredo Diaz.
Two things. It was the bear truss, trap. Was that like 60 seconds on the clock for her?
I don't know.
I don't know how much time. There was time, right? Because the moment she got up, it started going.
Yeah, it went off.
But like, I don't know how long she had.
Yeah, I think he said like 60 something or something. And I went, there's no way that this was going to get done in 60 seconds.
Hell no. But,
yeah, so there was that. And then two, like when they were going through all the different, detectives with Tap and Carrie, Dina Mira was like, whoa. Starship Troopers. She was dizzy.
Oh,
shut up! She was
dizzy.
Why wasn't she in more of this movie then? She's cool.
Tim, can you read us a full Wikipedia cast list of Starship Troopers?
Oh, let me stop you right there. I can tell you: Neil Patrick Harris, Casper Van Dien, Denise Richards, and this guy and the lady that Alfredo's talking about. Yeah. I forgot her name. Great movie.
We're missing great film. Total Recall, Splinter Cell, Sam Fisher.
Fucking Michael Ironside.
Oh, Michael Ironside.
Would you say Ironborn?
Ironborn.
Sick. Playing some fucking
they
Diablo
both sound
4.
Like doors in Lord of the Rings, though.
Lord of the Rings.
Let's see. This is all
a minute
scene.
Is crazy. Madeline Stanley confirming the chat. She only had a minute.
Yeah, that's
to murder
crazy.
Someone and find the key and get it in.
I cut Andy in half in 30 seconds. I have 30 seconds to
love
spare.
To see you, Chad.
You don't even have like time to think. You just have to go immediately into action.
Give me a scalpel.
Give me a credit card.
I mean, look, you know, like we're joking about this. I'm being 1,000% serious. When I was thinking about this last night watching it, I don't know that in 1 minute, if I had the key in my hand, if I could unlock the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would have dropped it.
Buttoning my belt sometimes. Yeah. Where I'm
putting
like,
in a USB.
Where is it supposed to go?
There
yeah,
you go.
Exactly. I don't know.
I would just go like this.
Hold on.
Oh, and your arms get ripped.
Your arms
off.
Get ripped.
Just ripped. Then we cut back. Of course, they get mommy and daddy are fighting downstairs. Not good. Whatever. They get kidnapped. We'll just skip ahead. Gordon shows Adam some pictures of him, but instead of one picture, he finds a Polaroid of Monica Potter and the daughter tied up. And on the back of it, it says, "Sometimes to see things, you got to shut off the light." Or some stupid ass riddle that doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah,
but like, wouldn't they have seen it when the lights were off and they woke up?
No, because
they explained that.
Yeah,
this is another one of those things where they're like, it was like glow in the dark paint, so it charged with the light. One of my favorite lines here from the amazing Carrie Elwes was, "To understand something, you have to understand its perfect engine." You're like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? He's just sitting in the bathroom trying to explain like how Jigsaw works and like why.
Well, he equated it to disease, right?
Yeah.
Because he's an infectious. Virus. He's like a doctor who works with cancer. He's like, this is a perfect virus. You got to understand and respect it. And they got to figure out how to beat it.
That's
fucking weird.
I'll tell you my least favorite part of this movie is such a little throwaway sequence that, much like I was talking about earlier, where you could tell these editors thought that they were popping off. The writer, whoever plays that one dude, when Carrie always says, like, I don't even know you, man. And he's like, well, I fucking stepped on a bee when I was in third grade or whatever. And he does that thing. And it's a very, like, Tarantino-esque, I'm giving you lines about nothing, but they're still interesting because I am a good writer and I am making you interested in whatever this dude's saying. But the whole time, it's just like, this dude is so like unappealing to watch as an actor, and these lines are so unappealing to listen to. So that whole sequence where he's like,
And when I was in third grade, I fucking took a shit in the gym or whatever. Like, yeah. It just sucks. That whole moment sucks.
It's a bummer because if they had cast someone of, like, and this is no disrespect to the writer, but if they had cast someone of Cary Elwes's, like, caliber.
Like a Beverly Mitchell.
Who's Beverly Mitchell?
From Seventh
Wikipedia.
Heaven.
Wikipedia.
Yeah. Yeah, the middle child from Seventh Heaven. Lucy Camden.
Got it. If they had cast someone that was Cary Elwes's, like, equal, you would have been like, oh, who... I think you would have seen them in a different light. But my brain, looking at this, going, big actor, no idea who this guy is. He's a bad guy. Or he's done some. I'm not supposed to like him. I'm supposed to like Cary Elwes because he was the Princess Bride
Such
guy.
Such a 90s so. Video game voice actor.
Yep.
Who?
The dude. We, like the main, yeah. Mm. The guy opposite Cary Elwes. He just sounds like a.
Yes. Yes. I thought you were talking shit about Cary Elwes. So I was about to leave. About to get up and leave.
Unlike everything else we've done for the last 3 minutes.
As you wish, as you like it, Joey.
I've never seen The Princess Bride.
What?
I know.
What?
I saw it for the first time last year.
I still haven't seen it.
It holds up.
It fucking rocks, dude.
Part it's of worth me, it, y'all. So here's it's the worth thing. It. Part of me is like, if I don't see it, then if I don't like it, people won't like absolutely want to murder me.
No.
Slash cancel me.
Well, you do have garbage takes like Grease 2. Terrible.
We're going to let Nick say that he has good takes about things.
I didn't say I have good takes. Anything. I just said game respects game. You have garbage takes, so do I. Bring psych to Netflix.
Let's drink to it.
Bring psych to Netflix. Him. Fun fact
I can't be on Nick's team for this.
Yeah, you can. Fun fact about The Princess Bride. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that wrote it had two daughters, and every time he'd travel a lot for work because he was a screenwriter. Mm-hmm. And when he left one day, he said, when I come back, I want to write you guys a story. What do you want? And one of his daughters said, I want a story about a princess. And the other one said, I want one about a bride. He goes, okay, I'll write it called The Princess Bride. And he wrote
it
on a
little
plane.
Facts about a movie. Cute. You want to watch
really
it.
Yeah, and he wrote the book first, then it became a great movie. Anyway, up in Diana's room, Jigsaw strikes, but it's not Jigsaw, it's Zeb, the orderly, and he's like, oh, what's the smoke monster? We'll never fucking know.
Benjamin Linus, what are you doing in this movie?
God, stupid ass show. Anyway, this ties him up.
It's not terrifying. Stupid. I think it's good.
Lost?
First, like, four seasons were good.
Yeah.
Right when he goes, not Penny's boat, I'm done. Stop watching it.
That moment, though, I hit.
It was so bad.
That was the moment I realized they're just gonna jerk me around for the next five seasons. And then fucking, I'm never going to know if they're home or not. Hated it. Evangeline Lilly, though, went on to be the Wasp, and that was cool. Did she have to act?
Just the Wikipedia.
Did she have to act opposite Corey Stahl? She did. Corey Stahl in Billions, the final season that I started watching last night. Is it good? No. Should I stop now?
You know, whatever you can. Like
watching
to.
Billions or
can you for once watch a show that we recommend to you? You prefer to watch shows that nobody recommends to you.
Andy. If you're about Bosch one more time.
Bosch rocks. You watch it. It's really great. I started watching The Lincoln Lawyer also. Not good.
It's so bad.
The Lincoln Lawyer?
It's so bad.
They turned the movie into a series.
And it's bad. It's bad. It's like a CW series. But what I'll say is this, Joey, I'm not always right.
We're still here.
But when I am right, okay, 12 billion views don't lie, okay? Strap in, put your suits on, and let's go be fucking lawyers
in New
York.
I thought he was going to take credit for telling
suits?
Everyone to watch The Bear.
Yes, he's talking suits.
Strap in.
You could have picked the one good show that you've recommended to people, but instead you're picking suits again.
The Bear's good, too. Anyway, let's go back to the plot, ladies and gentlemen.
So we're in this abduction scene that is absolutely terrifying. Like, the build-up to it of her, like, sitting there, like, thinking there's someone in the room, which he is in the fucking room, and then, like, all that stuff, and the fight between the parents and all this shit.
Reminds me so much of Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah. The little girl. Big Poltergeist vibes. But this scene is terrifying because there's no reason for him to be checking their heartbeats. He just does it. Right?
He's an orderly man. Maybe he wanted to be a doctor when he grew
up. That shit's fucked up, man. Like, the amount of time they spend just sitting there of him with the gun and the heartbeat and all that shit, I was like, this is unnerving to no end, especially because as the movie ends, I'm like, that wasn't part of the... Yeah. Like, nope. The heart rate to be right.
That's the ultimate you want to play a game. Yeah. This is just fun
it's like,
me.
I thought in that moment, like, oh, this would have been a great ingredient for a trap that he's going to be setting up where Nick... Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock.
Speed but heartbeats.
You got to keep your heartbeat under a certain amount. And if it goes over,
your heart explodes.
Your bus explodes.
That was one of my favorite challenges in The Real World versus Road Rules season 2, I want to say, where they got two of the different teams up in the sky and they had to hang there and they couldn't let their heart rate go above a certain amount or else you lose.
She take a bunch of Quaaludes.
Did it drop
the Miz one?
Oh. Shout out to the Miz.
What's up, Fredo?
Can we rewind it back though to the abduction scene when Zepp was like, the mom walks in and I don't remember it being so weird. The mom walks in and Zepp is just with a sheet over his head,
dude,
sheet, standing there, and then just goes and like jumps at her.
It looked really weird.
It you know what it reminded me of, Fredo, was in just that moment, the pacing, the cut of it. It reminded me a lot of in Signs. When they're underneath the house in Signs and the kid is against the wall and they finally shine the flashlight at him and hand grabs him or whatever. Like, that's what it reminded me of, because in that moment, for whatever reason, the way it's shot, Zepp kind of like blends in. And I don't think that's what they're intending to do.
No, definitely not.
But it's like, what is this shot?
Yeah. If he just didn't have the blanket on him, I think that would have like worked a lot better. I think they were still trying to like make us think it might be someone else.
I wanted him to keep the thing on him. Yeah, keep the thing on him and have him go like, stay still, she doesn't see you. you hear him voicing underneath.
Of course, he looks outside, and then Danny Glover has taken up camp across the way because now he's a recluse. We're not quite sure why. It's a little confusing to me because I was like, wait, does Danny Glover just live in this thing? And he's doing all the string from point A to point B, and he's like obsessing about this. But then we cut back to earlier when he's in the police station and he's watching the tape back and forth, and Spike's like, dude, you got to get a girlfriend, man. I don't mean to be a dick about this, but you're starting to smell. And then he's like, wait, it's this K2K, man. That's a gang, and they're always down to this one warehouse, whatever it is. Let's go check the warehouse out.
Fuck yeah, man. I love this shit. This is just Law and Order stuff, but I think this is the cleverness stuff of like, wait a minute, that graffiti's this gang. They only have this small little area of the town. Wait, we hear a fire alarm. Where's all the fire alarms in this area? It must be this place.
But this
Danny
Glover would have been great at GeoGuessr.
This is another one of those moments where you go, we have watched this tape now with Danny Glover like 5 times. We never heard the stupid fucking fire alarm. And he's like, wait a minute.
Follow your heart.
And I swear to God, there's talking
through
this entire tape. But I swear to God, if you watch this back, Jigsaw talks through the entire time. And there's one point where Danny Glover just like hits the mute button, but it's the button that only allows for like fire alarms to come through.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, do you hear that fire alarm? I'm like, he would be talking through this. How would you
Luckily,
this?
Jigsaw recorded on a 4-track player. Yeah.
It's 32-bit audio. We can really isolate it. Of course, they head over there, and they find Jigsaw's whole setup.
Where do they head to?
They had the warehouse.
A mannequin factory.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking terrifying. And they don't make any use of that.
No, right? Not at all.
What's the point of it being in a mannequin factory? The scariest place could possibly be in a horror movie? No reason.
Tim, would it amaze you to learn that just 2 nights ago, I started watching the movie Mannequin?
I fucking knew it.
What's the song
for
Mannequin?
And we can build this thing together. There is nothing ever. Nothing's gonna stop us now. And then Kim Cattrall, fantastic. Is she coming back?
At the end? I don't know.
And just like that, I think she is.
And just like that?
I think she is. And just like that, Kim Cattrall.
That was a Sex and the City reference, Andy.
While you're out there watching 18 seasons of Better Call Saul, your boy's in the fucking streets, man. I'm looking at shit.
I don't know if there, you know, have we reviewed another movie with a smaller budget? Have we reviewed another movie and in the review mentioned this many other properties?
Cameron Kennedy.
Briefly tangentially related.
Man, it's great. James Spader in that movie, too. Anyway, back to the thing. Whole thing just goes... This goes very, very poorly. This is the only part of the movie that's just mildly annoying to me, because I'm like, you guys are cops. You didn't call any backup. You didn't do anything. You don't just shoot this fucking guy. Like, there's two drills coming through. I'm like, just shoot the drills and then shoot the guy. They drop the ball. Danny Glover gets his fucking throat cut out, and he's like, and then I was like, oh, that's why he was whispering the whole time, because he can't really talk anymore. And then
there was a part of me that was like, when Danny Glover, after the dude runs away, and I think his friend had been shot already. This is like before he like engages and pursues him. I don't know why. Like, I expected Danny Glover to be holding his neck and be like, "The blood's fake." It was a fake blade. He didn't cut me.
That's incredible.
Theatrics.
He tricked me.
Spike runs through and, of course, triggers the tripwire that just makes 15 double barrel shotguns that were hanging there just blow him to pieces. Jigsaw gets away. Then we cut.
So when we were watching this, I was watching it here at the studio with Mike and our roommate Katie. And Mike was talking about how I don't know if I just don't remember the pig mask being as big of a deal as Mike was talking about at the time. Was it like, is it an iconic Saw thing? Yeah. Does it carry yes. throughout the rest of the movies? Yeah. Okay.
The pig why. Mask and the bear saw trap are very iconic.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the marionette thing never comes back, like the weird little
the okay. puppet?
Yeah, the puppet.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Okay.
That I remember.
That's him. That's his son.
Oh.
Yeah.
With Jigsaw Jimmy. Jr.
Jimmy Saw.
Jimmy Saw. back over in the thing.
Hold on real quick. This little alleyway that they're running down, and then he eventually like triggers it and like gets shot. He shoots Jigsaw.
In the back. Yeah, in the back with a shotgun.
With a shotgun.
Yeah, in the back of
a shotgun. And he falls, and then he just gets up and kind of like dusts his legs off.
Yeah.
You imagine there's some sort of
black jacket.
Black jacket.
Yeah, at that range, Fredo, I was like, no way those bullets disappear at that range.
No, I didn't see anything on his back. No pellets, like piercing. I mean, that whole weird. Cape must be like Kevlar.
Weird.
We're dealing with the Scream 5 situation here. Mm. You know,
you didn't notice him switch out the shotgun shell.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of confetti.
Theatrics. Yeah. You're right. You're right. This was a kind of big reveal, though, in this little mannequin situation with the drills
I hate
and all stuff.
The drills.
Of seeing Tobin Bell, like Jigsaw, like the old man for the first time, kind of in his little fucking. Boxing outfit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. In his satin robe.
He does look like he's about to enter a ring. With like Logan Paul or something.
Back over in the bathroom, Adam finally makes good and he's like, maybe we should try turning the lights off one more time and see what happens. And he's like, okay. They find an X in the wall, break through it. There's a little box there. They throw the key back to him that they found originally in their pockets. And he opens up the box and it is a litany of things. There's cigarettes. And then a little note that says,
"Ah, sweet cancer."
And he's like, give me a cigarette. I'll take one right now. And he's like, you're going to put something you found in this room in your mouth. He's like, I'm willing to risk it. At that point, I'm like, dip, 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 dip. Here you go, idiot. Smoke that stupid thing. I hate you.
You already got poo dip, dip, from dip, a gross toilet dip, in dip, his dip, mouth. And I don't think the cigarette's really like a deal breaker.
It's true. I forget what else was. Oh, I'm sorry. A cell phone, a lighter, a cigarette, and a note inside.
Had this exact cell phone. This was like one of the hand-me-downs from my parents. I was like, oh, this brings back some memories.
Dude, the silver Verizon phone, man.
So it's around this moment, Nick, you started this interview talking about Carrie's horrible makeup. It's around this moment that it just goes off the deep end.
Yeah.
Because from here on out, his acting and makeup just get progressive. He's a totally different person. And I get it. He's slowly like losing his mind and shit, whatever, quickly. I'm not so sure. But him in this cell phone is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like just the entire, and he's the way he holds it, the way he tries to go, oh, it can only receive incoming calls.
How would he know that?
How the fuck? What?
Also, is that how? I don't think that's how phones work.
No, there's no phone.
He learned that in doctor school.
Dial out. Mm. I mean, I guess you could probably program it to do that or make sure that it can't search for a network. But at some point, if a phone can generally receive a call, it's probably set to set. Anyway, that's not the part that bothered me. The part I was like, how did you know this? And then we cut to the scene the night prior where he's leaving his mistress's spooky garage. And so I'm baffled by what's going on in this garage. I don't know why he had to get out of the car. I don't know why he had to check the phone. His cell phone doesn't work, so he tries to call. So is he stuck in the garage? Why does he stop?
I'm also a little lost. I was distracted by him being like, and I left the hospital's garage, and he's just like in this weird
in this shitty ass garage that again
like, there's
just
no
the
way
to have
a hospital garage. What?
No, it's very the odd. Garage to the motel room, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they're talking about it as if it's the hotel garage or the
and I think he gets out because like it's one of those like old garages where like the you know the gate there's like a gate so he has to like push the button and I guess the automation like you know you pull up and it automatically goes up and I guess it didn't happen so you get out and he's like trying to finagle with it.
I guess that makes sense.
What it felt like watching these sequences was Carrie always filmed a lot of this movie, and then they needed a lot of reshoots, and he had to come back 3 years later. It was like, how did I play this character? And they're like, we don't know. We don't have the footage on us right now. Just do it however you want.
Didn't.
It's a different person.
Well, to me, this is just unfortunately where the budget of the movie kind of wears a little thinly, because this should have been a normal parking garage. but it wasn't. It was a random warehouse style garage like you feel like you'd find in like downtown San Francisco, Soma District, and you'd pay $400 to park there and they'd still fuck your car up. It's very, very weird. I wish it had been more of a normal setting, but it doesn't matter because he gets attacked by the pig man and goes down. Let's see. And then he's like, wait, how did you know to turn the lights off, man? And he's like, I'll be honest with you. I found this picture. Who are you calling?
No, keep going.
Okay. Are you going to try to do the thing? Gotcha. And then Adam's like, holy shit, man. I remember how I got here. It turns out Adam was a private detective. And he was following Larry when Larry went to visit his mistress at this weird parking garage slash motel slash the hallway to their apartment slash hallway to everyone's apartment because it's just one set where they film this whole thing.
Look, man, I'm a simple guy, but yeah, like this man. Is probably reveal number 7 in this movie, like that he's a private detective that's been chasing him down. I've seen this movie countless times, and last night I still went, ooh. like, it got me, man. I'm like, this is awesome.
But it's one of those things where you go back and watch it now with all the conventional technology that we have with cell phone cameras and whatnot. And you just see they don't have a budget for like extras. There's no extras in this movie at all. So it's just Cary Elwes walking and this guy walking 5 feet behind him with a fucking massive camera setup and a big ass flash. The part that gets me is when he takes a picture of him in the parking garage. Then he also takes a picture of him in the fucking hallway of the motel.
Yeah.
And they were this far away from each other. I'm like, I can see you.
I would have ran 10 steps that way and be like, who's that?
Yeah, yeah, who the fuck are you? Anyway, we also get a little backstory.
I think Fredo's got something. What's up, Fredo?
Oh, Fredo, what's up?
No, I'm saying exactly what Nick was saying, because one of those photos, too, I remember when it went through the slideshow. One of the photos is Cary literally looking at the camera.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, this is one hallway. It's like it just curves into a hallway that's dead end.
I'm so close to you right now.
We saw Adam come back to develop those pictures. And then the power goes out. He wakes up. It's there. You guys use the flash to see what's going on. And then the pig man attacks him as well. Back in the bathroom, the clock strikes the good old time of 5:37, and Gordon gets a call. It's his wife and daughter. Allison asks if Adam's there. She said, don't believe Adam. He lies to you. He knows all about you before today. This is where it gets revealed that Adam is, in fact, a private detective. And then Larry arranged. We see that he didn't actually, he's like, I didn't cheat on my wife. I got cold feet or whatever. He ends up being a good dude after all, I guess, you're supposed to think.
I mean, that's such a shitty cop-out thing, but it did feel, based on their conversation, that this wasn't the first time this had happened.
That's the confusing thing for me. But he did say, she's like, she was awkward about it, and he was like, you know what, I shouldn't have done this, I misled you, to this is a mistake.
I thought he said, we gotta stop doing this.
Oh, did he? I thought he was like, I thought it was the first time they had decided to get together. Because we also have the whole thing of like Monica Potter and him aren't happy. She's like, I wish you would just be. She told me the truth. You're not happy. And he was like, I'm pretty happy. I think it's fine. Yeah. I'm banging on my residence, so yeah. It's pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, not a good situation. But Jigsaw calls. He's like, I know what you did last summer, doctor. And he's like, oh no, are you Ryan Phillippe? spoilers: Ryan Phillippe was not the killer in that movie.
Oh wow,
I haven't seen that one in a long time. I don't
not
know.
Good. Does not hold up. Adam looks at the photo from the stash he found in the toilet and spots one of Zep, the orderly, in his house. And he's like, oh shit, the guy's in your house. Adam points out that they're there. He's like, oh no, we're out of time. It's 6 p.m. Time for your family to die. And Cary Elwes is like, why'd you phrase it like that? And then Allison gets free and unties Diana, and Zep moves in for the kill. And then they start, she fakes him out, takes the gun and the phone from him. Larry starts crying and apologizing for everything. The gun goes off and he's like, oh no, I got to get to my family. And I'd be like, oh, they're dead. You missed it. You're done.
Your foot.
Maybe
they're all
like
dead.
2 hours ago would have been like the time to do it.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, Tap comes in too, and he's like, I'm going to get this guy. And he doesn't.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. Yeah. Dude, Danny Glover, the amount of times that he's whispered, like he just whispers constantly in Predator 2.
It sounds like he's like inhaling almost, like, I'm going to get this guy.
Danny boy. Danny boy.
That's the Predator, actually.
No, that's Danny Glover in Predator 2.
And
I was like, Danny boy.
Oh, but he doesn't make the Predator sound, though.
He does sometimes. They cut that out.
They cut that out.
Yeah, anyway.
Tallies for the other movies we're talking about in this episode.
We get a weird-ass car chase in this, and then Danny Glover tries to kill him. But instead of killing him, Zeb dodges a bullet last minute, and Danny Glover shoots himself in the chest, which is weird.
Very, very weird. Like the way it's shot, it's confusing.
Yeah,
it's all that stuff. I did not like at all. I did like the don't believe Adam's Lot.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing. I was like, oh shit, turning the bathroom boys on each other this late in the game.
It's late.
Cruel move right there.
At one point, he gets shocked awake because he passes out. No, yeah. I think he passes
out. Yeah, they
out.
Do the fake cigarette trick.
That's that whole thing, right?
Which I enjoyed too. That was cool.
Terrible
acting. And I think it got worse.
Acting. Yeah. God. Oh, my Lord, it was horrible.
We'll skip ahead of here a little bit. And then, of course, Carrie's like seeing no other option. He's like, starts taking his shirt off. And Adam's like, what do you do, man? Don't do it. He puts a little tourniquet and then puts it in his mouth real hard. He's like, my family needs me.
And we're all watching this like, don't do it, don't, man. Please don't fucking do it. Yeah. And then he just starts doing it.
And he cuts his own foot off. Uh-huh. And then, man, you think the makeup was bad before? He looks like fucking Nicolas Cage in that Dracula movie that just came out.
Renfield,
so bad. Renfield. And he, you know, as he's crawling in, of course, the door opens. Zep is there, and Zep's like, "No, man, you're out of time.
Man.
It's 6 p.m. I have to kill everyone now."
No, he's got
he shoots at him first.
He has the gun. Shoots at him.
Yeah, he has a gun, and he goes, "You have to die."
Yeah, he does.
That's what I've been prepping this whole time.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm
saying. You have to die. I'm sorry. My family.
And the whole time, what I need everybody to rewatch at when you do your second rewatch tonight is to rewatch that sequence. Anytime I watch this, I just go, man, that reminds me so much of Adam Sandler and Little Nicky. He does this, like, he does the crooked mouth thing. Yeah, you have to die. And it just reminds me so much of, like, when Adam Sandler does, like, a little thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The thing, too, is it's like his limbs are on strings the way he like rocks his body in his hand.
Yeah.
A weird motion.
Of course,
I thought he was going to throw the gun at him. Like, fuck you.
Do you think he winged him on purpose or do you think he's just 100%. A bad shot?
No, I think he winged him on purpose.
He's supposed to, right? So,
wait, really?
Yeah.
No, I think
he does bring.
He says it's
okay. It's like a shoulder wound.
Yeah, just winged it.
I don't think he really believed that. I think it was a shoulder wound, but I don't think he was trying to do the shoulder.
I thought he was just trying to kill him in that moment.
String arms and like missed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he just cut off his leg. He's not trying to like
not thinking.
Pull one over.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to shoot you and then winks at him.
But I mean, yeah, I guess that's true.
I think he was going for the kill and like it just. For movie's sake,
yeah,
got him in the shoulder just so we could have that moment of Adam just coming back from the dead.
Yeah, I think he purposely did it because he thought that, what's the guy, Zed? Whatever?
Zep.
Because he's here at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he wanted Zep to, because everybody thinks that Zep is Jigsaw, wanted him to think that he'd killed Adam so that he could go and then,
no,
by the time he figured out that he was
no, but at this point, he thinks his family's dead already.
But he's still trying to go, like, that was a factor when he was cutting off his foot, right?
Yeah, like,
what's
but
even
like
the point of
I
doing
think
that?
He's far past the point of like any rational thought. He's like, I'm gonna cut off my fucking foot. My family's probably dead. I'm gonna shoot you. You're gonna die because that's what I need to do to get out of here. Like, I don't think in that moment he had this grand plan to like, we're gonna get him after this when he walks right back
in.
Maybe. You know.
Well, either way, Zep gets killed by the toilet seat cover thing, tank cover.
Oof, yeah.
Really brutal way to die. And then he's like, Lawrence's like, look, I gotta go get some medical attention or else I'm gonna die. Now, granted, we know where he's at. He's got a long way to crawl.
I'll be right back.
He's not getting out of here. And he goes, Lawrence, Lawrence, are we gonna be okay? And he says, I wouldn't lie to you. And then Adam starts searching Zeb's body for anything that can help him. He finds his wallet, but there's no key. Instead, he finds another recorder and he presses play and it's Jigsaw. And it says, hello, Mr. Hindle, or as they call you around the hospital. Zep, I want you to make a choice. There's a slow-acting poison in your bloodstream. Will you murder a wife and child to save yourself? Listen carefully. There are rules. And then Adam realizes that Zep isn't the real killer. And as he does so, right behind him in frame, the real killer, the guy that's been lying there the entire time, starts to get up. And then he takes off a very elaborate mask that presumably helped him not breathe.
Just like dry blood.
For 6 hours. And then he's like, hey, it's me, the real Jigsaw.
It's me.
You're an idiot.
What's up?
Greg Popovich, dude.
Alfredo.
Now that I think about it now, Jigsaw lying there in blood, I'm like, it must have been really good blood because you have a doctor here that deals with blood in patients. So it must have been like some really believable blood on the ground that was dried up.
I mean, it could have been real blood. It probably was.
That's true. Yeah, it could have been real.
I mean,
it could have been pig like blood. A lot of pig blood.
Now that I think back, like, small budget, and they probably shouldn't have cut to it, but like... You know, when Adam smashes in Zep's head, you get a slight little, like, showing of his head, like, in the lower left
frame, and he looks less smashed and more like burnt on his face.
Interesting.
It didn't look like it fit properly, like the man's head smashed. It was perfectly intact and just looked kind of
like Carrie always looks like a heroin addict the entire time. So
I felt the same way when Homeboy gets shotgun blasted. Mm-hmm. When that initially happens, I go, oh, his head is completely gone. And then he's on the ground, just like kind of like wound in his skull. I was like, I don't know.
It's like a large hole here, but the way it's all lined up, like all of this, even shoulders would have just been obliterated.
Yeah, like when he does like kind of fall to his knees and land, I just expected there to be no head. Like I thought it was just going to be completely gone.
My favorite thing that I thought you were going to bring up about the budget is when Jigsaw stands up. But before he stands up, he does this.
Give it to me.
Audio time. Listeners. He's
Oh, we're on that.
Tim's on the table. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he really does.
He really gets in it, man.
Shakes his little tail feather.
That was a really good impression.
Why did he do it like that?
Why did he look like a stretching?
No, he never even said anything like this, but did he take anything to like slow down his heart, ninja heart rate?
I think he was sedated.
I think he was waking up.
This is a big debate on ours of like, how would you not be able to tell that he was breathing? But if he was sedated, then he would have had like really shallow breathing.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, but at some point he would have farted or something.
Poop.
What was that? Was that you? Adam, was that you? No, it wasn't me. Was
did y'all hear that? It's like, hold this
it's
again.
It's a clue.
Follow your heart.
Bodies still do that hours after they're dead.
It wakes him up from the sedation. Oh, shit.
But yo, this moment, I will never forget the first time I saw it. Like, holy shit. This was... You know, Luke, I am your father thing. You're like, holy crap, that's one of the most iconic twists in movie history. This moment, you just didn't see it coming. And, like, it didn't need to come, if I'm being honest. Like, when you really, like, think about it, I'm like, what did that add to this whole thing? I don't fucking know. But it's cool.
That's a good point.
Hell.
That's a really good point.
Oh, I guess he was the voyeur. He's always... He wants to be in the room.
He could have watched from the camera.
He could have watched from, yeah. There's a lot of...
Remember, there's one point where he gets up, and Adam's like, I'm going to fucking shoot you, and there's no bullets in the gun. He takes his little thing out and shocks him with it.
He was real close.
You were shocking him the whole time?
He was real close to getting shot right there.
Yeah. Like,
oh, good point.
Totally.
When Adam,
that's right, because it was a different gun. That's right, it was Zep's gun.
Yeah, when he zaps him and knocks the gun out of his hand, like it's like, oh, man, Jigsaw, you just got by really close right there.
Do you think if Adam got free, he could live for a couple days on Larry's foot? He'd eat it?
As your feet are just kicked up on the table.
Terrible. Oh, we really did take your shoes
off.
Your
socks look so yellow.
I'm so comfortable. They're yellow.
Oh.
The yellow socks.
Okay. Yeah, they're not white
I don't
socks.
Think anybody
they're
should ever white. Buy socks that thin.
They're off white.
It looks like baby skin.
It's not white socks.
It looks unintentional.
Whoever did Carrie Elwes' makeup for the movie definitely designed Nick's socks.
I bought a pack of socks that were all different colors, and these are my favorite because they're yellow.
So this whole scene, legitimately one of my favorite movie scenes in any movie ever, because like the music just swells and like the way it just goes fucking crazy how chaotic it is. The amount of flashbacks, they go through the entire movie in this like little 3-minute section. The reveals, the twists, the turns, the oh, it's all connected shit. And then it ends with Adam desperately like just begging for help, and he just goes, game over. Slams the fucking door. Super credits fun. Hit, and there's no music anymore because the music ramped up before the credits. It's dead silence, and you just hear Adam screaming. So good, man. That is how you end a movie. That's how you start a franchise, ladies and gentlemen.
I have questions, though, and I don't know if these are future spoilers, but like...
You can ask them. We will not even hint whatsoever, but go, Joey.
I imagine, maybe... Well, like, I guess... Carrie crawling, trying to get medical attention for his foot that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Jigsaw, I imagine, crosses paths with him at some point. Are there multiple entrances and exits to wherever this warehouse thing that they are?
These are excellent questions.
Because even if Jigsaw did run into him, would he get the pass because he made it out of the trap?
Yeah, he did the thing.
But he didn't kill Adam, which
he
was
tried.
You're right.
So does that matter?
Well, I think he just wanted him to cut his foot off. I think killing Adam was like less. It was more about like, are we willing to sacrifice part of your body to atone for your
sins? Do you think he has a foot fetish or no?
Jigsaw?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Big time.
Big time.
Big time.
Do my questions ever get answered?
You'll have to wait and see, Joe. Okay. You know what I mean? That's what future spoilers are all about. But we definitely will have questions answered one way or another the next couple weeks as we watch the rest of this franchise. But we're not there yet. Obviously, ranking the Saw franchise, this is number one. We'll see if it maintains that status. But instead of Ragu Bagu, Alfredo, that's Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys, where we rank the villains in movie franchises. We're going to do two separate lists here.
Ooh.
We're going to rank the traps and rank the reveals. So to define this a little bit more, ranking the reveals, it will, because there's always a ton of reveals in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about when the music hits at the end,
right,
when they're doing the whole, here's the plan and here's the whole thing. We're going to be ranking those. All
there
right?
there was Danny Ocean the whole time, you know.
That whole thing, all right? Yeah. So that
Ocean's so good.
And obviously, because we've only had one so far, that Saw 1 is number one right now.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets interesting.
Ooh.
Wait, ranking, do you not want me to play the song?
Play the song just for fun.
Okay, okay. Like the sort of reveal thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
here please. We go. Here we go, everybody. I've been practicing this all day.
It's that pivotal moment. It's predictable. This twist. Unforgettable.
I love Eddie Cortez so fucking much.
That was really good.
That
all day you've been singing that. I've been like, how the fuck is he getting Faith Hill into review?
He was like, why are you singing Faith Hill? I was like, no reason at all, Joe. I was like, maybe you'll find out later.
Or maybe not. You'll have to wait and see.
That will be the theme song for ranking the reveals in the coming weeks. But for this, we do have something we need to settle. For ranking the traps, what I want to do, because there's a lot of traps in all of these movies. Even this one has a fair amount.
Do you want me to sing the trap song?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Traps. Hey. They don't rank them like we rank them.
Is that an original?
That is an interpretation of Maps by the Maps.
Yeah. I kind of fucked up the piano. There's a
whole
little
bit. There we go. I thought you were going to do the Saw theme, but like with trap drums. But, you know, I like that, too.
I mean,
I thought you were going to do Rack City, but Trap City.
I already thought that. I had already thought of that, but I was like, no, it's just like Trap City doesn't really make sense, you know?
Yeah.
And also, they don't rank them like
warehouses in Trap City?
We should make it work.
So to rank the traps, what we're going to do is we're going to rank them similar to the Conjuring movies, Andy, as you remember very well. We rank like the best scary moment, the best scare of each movie, and then we rank those against each other. So we need to nominate what is the trap of this movie. I feel like it's pretty obvious for this one.
Yeah, it's the bear trap.
It's the reverse bear trap yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Cool. Reverse bear trap.
Though I will say the drill one got me real fucked up.
That's fucked up.
Dude, I liked the fire one.
Mm.
I liked having to find the combination with a fucking like little lighter and you're covered in shit that'll burn you if you're not careful. Like, I thought that was really creative.
That is really. See, my thing is, when I think about the traps in these movies, I'm not just thinking about the trap. I'm thinking of the setup, the way that like they present the rules and all that shit. The bear trap, I don't think is perfect because the guy not being dead, I think, is a weird angle to it.
That's perfect, though.
And also, it's like, it'd be one thing if she was like a bear hunter.
Oh, and you know, he was like, now you're the bear? Now you're the bear?
And he was like, you've killed a lot of,
A lot of bears in your whole life. Now it's time for you to taste your own medicine.
Okay. But the drill one bothers me because it's like, and they said they were just testing this one out. Like, this wasn't an actual trap. But it's like, the rules of it, like that felt impossible to get out of. There was too many keys. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
Like, that's not like a test of, are you willing to risk it all? That's a test of just like, yo, it's like the Titanic test. You just get fucking lucky.
Yeah. What's the Titanic test?
When Leonardo DiCaprio's trying his best to get the keys.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Okay.
I guess it wasn't him. It was someone else.
It's Billy Zane.
He was in it, though.
Whatever.
I have a child!
But yeah, I think the reverse bear trap is the most iconic of Saw 1. And it's the most fleshed out trap.
I agree.
The
one that you were talking about felt more like montage-y, so I didn't feel like it got enough of a moment to rank it. Similar to like, even the wire one, I feel like, got a little bit more screen time.
The razor blade one is so fucked up when you think about it, man. That guy.
You had time to escape. Fredo, what was your favorite?
I mean, it's got to be the bear trap. I think the razor. I think the
but if she was a bear hunter, be better.
Yeah, it's true. I think the most annoying one was the safe. I'd be like, come on, how am I supposed to? I'd be here all day, all night. Like,
yeah,
it's gonna take forever. And then the razor one made me go, oof, because I was like, oh, maybe I take my underwear and use it to help me. But then I was like, oh, but then my genitals are exposed. I'm cutting that.
My weenus.
Yeah, you don't want that to be.
See, when they say like too big, so deep, there's stomach acid on the floor. It's like, oh, dang, y'all. Some messed up shit.
It's pretty deep.
So we're starting the rankings. Obviously, Saw 1 across the board is our number one for all of them. We'll have to return next week with Saw 2. Because of some scheduling issues, we're going to record it at a different time. So it will be recording on Patreon on Monday, and it will then be posting on Tuesday for everybody else. But then hopefully after that, the plan is every Thursday on Patreon, Friday live for everybody. The only week we're going to take off is the Conjuring week when The Nun happens. But I'll remind everybody week to week exactly what's going on here. We appreciate your patience. We hope you join us. The first couple Saw movies, I think the first like initial franchise of it all, is on Amazon Prime. So you could watch along with us there. But until next time.
See you later.